going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ben Standing's with us. He's with us every Monday and Friday, but not on draft week and not on Thursday night football games, which they might have a Thursday night football game next year, and they also might have a Thursday day game next year because Thanksgiving's on Thursday and Christmas is on Thursday. By the way, we are less than a month away from the schedule coming out. We are less than 2 weeks away from my mock schedule. Ben Standing had his mock draft completed last night and up. Ben is a multi-time mock draft champion. And his is one that was very anticipated when it came out late last night. And I immediately this morning when I woke up went to see who you had. You will divulge that here shortly, but here we are on draft day. What are you hearing, if anything? What do you think happens with respect to a trade back or not a trade back? Just give me your overall thoughts as we head into, you know, a draft that seems weird for us with them picking at 29.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, any year, if you're picking that late in the first round, it's pretty hard to anticipate, you know, what's going to be on the board this year. As you've discussed many times, I'm sure, and I concur based on my own work here the last few weeks, it is really challenging to figure out any type of rhyme or reason as to what's going on. So, look, I mean, obviously, I mean, Adam Peters, like the one thing we know from Adam Peters is he, as he said, I think it was the owners' meeting, that, yeah, he would love to trade down. You know, that's about the one piece of information that we've gotten out of him for sure. But, you know, obviously the whole deal, you got to have somebody who's willing to do it. I think the question is going to be probably the quarterbacks and maybe the offensive linemen. You know, where do the runs on those positions go? And, you know, if there's some options there late in the first round and some teams like, hey, quarterback, it's obvious why teams want a quarterback, offensive tackle, important position that gets very thin after the first handful of picks. So, I think those are the ones to keep an eye on. Beyond that, you know, look, I mean, you know, I think we understand their needs and, you know, they should be in position to get, whether it's an edge rusher or a cornerback or an offensive playmaker, if they want one of those guys and they're sitting there at 29, they should have some options for sure.
So Ben's mock, before we get to his, you mentioned that you had 43 players for 32 spots, but the thing you did, which was one of my bold predictions, and it is bold because the over-under on quarterbacks remains at 2.5, even though you got to pay minus 190, minus 195 if you go under on this. But you also decided that just one quarterback would get selected in the first round, and your trades back into the first round are not for quarterbacks. So give me your thoughts on quarterbacks in the first round and then go to the trades that you had in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, look, If Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart end up in the first round, I mean, nobody should be surprised about that. But look, I mean, I think here's the thing with quarterbacks. Like in the context of this mock draft and in the context of the contest that you mentioned, right? You get points for if you have a player in the first round, then if you have the exact match. And I could sit here and say, sure, the Steelers at 21 taking Shedeur Sanders, it's been discussed a lot. But only if so many teams need a quarterback, right? I mean, it's not like any team could at any point could say, yeah, we'll take a defensive end. But with quarterback, it's only like three or four teams. And it feels like at this point, Sanders may be getting all the way to the Steelers at 21. And if the Steelers do anything but take him, then, you know, I think he may fall out. The Browns and the Giants are two teams that we all believe would want to get a quarterback, even though we believe they're both going to pass on these guys at 2 and 3. The thing is, though, they also have the first and second pick, respectively, in the second round. So, yeah, Depending on how the board goes, they don't have to necessarily do much of anything. And, you know, look, you know, the fact that Jalen Milroe is going to be in Green Bay, which is odd, considering typically you only go to the draft if you think you're going in the first round. Does that mean he is? I mean, nobody is projecting that, but at the same time, why is he there? Maybe he's there because he's going to be one of the first picks in the second round. So I just think it's pretty complicated to just say it's going to happen. So again, the Giants trading in for Jackson Dart, I totally get it. The Steelers taking Sanders, totally get it. But, again, in the draft with so much uncertainty, I just didn't think it was compelling enough to say that, you know, that's the odds of that happening are that strong.
So tell me about the trades that you made. Tell everybody about the trades, because you did have a couple of trades in the first round. We have not had one yet, I mean, at this point. So they weren't for quarterbacks. Talk about who they were for.
Yeah, so I was just double-checking. I mean, both the trades I have were within the first round, so every team still has one first-rounder. But in terms of what I did here, so in talking to people over the last few days around the league, you know, what do we think this team is going to do? What do you make of this? And I can't tell you, like, several times we were talking about whatever, some player or some team, and somebody would mention, you know what, don't sleep on Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle out of Ohio State, going there. Not that necessarily that team has a left tackle need, but he may be the one guy in this class that, in a class where so many people look at these tackles and think that guy's a guard, he's like the one that physically in his play style scream tackle. He's slipped to probably the back half of the first round because he had an ACL tear last year at Ohio State. But I had one GM tell me that, you know, he would have had him as the number one tackle and would pick him fourth where New England is going if he was on the clock. So I had Kansas City. I think we all understand Kansas City could use some offensive line help. Right. They're picking at 31, so I had them trading up to Tampa Bay at 19. The Bucs are one of those teams like Washington where they have fewer draft picks right now than, you know, the standard seven. So a way for them to get more picks and for the Chiefs to lock up possibly the best left tackle going here before getting to the 20s, where some other teams are going to want to make that kind of move. And then, Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, he's been considered, take out Travis Hunter. Other than Travis Hunter, he's been considered for some to be arguably the best cornerback in this class, but he's coming off an injury and he had to do a private workout recently because he wasn't able to do everything at the combine. And he didn't run the 40, and he did a lot of other stuff, but he didn't run the 40. And I think that's definitely raised a lot of eyebrows, like, well, what's going on here? So, you know, between that and some of the other injuries, like, I think he falls. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah, I believe, had him falling out of the first round, which is pretty nuts in terms of
really
just where we, yeah. And I don't think he was the only one. I think I saw that somewhere else too. So, so I was like, well, I wasn't hearing he was falling out of the first round, but I was already suspicious about the whole deal. So anyway, I had him dropping, but in the context, if I'm going to keep him in there, the Buffalo Bills have been pegging for a cornerback. That feels like one of their bigger needs. So if Will Johnson's sliding and there's a reason to still think, hey, yeah, he's a good player, we're not worried about the injury situation, that I had the Bills trading up for a guy. So arguably they're getting the number two cornerback in the draft at 24. The Vikings have the fewest picks in the draft with only four. So they drop back to 31, and they drop back to 30 and take Malachi Starks, safety out of Georgia. Their safety, Harrison Smith, he's even older than Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, so they need a succession plan, and they get one there with Starks.
This Will Johnson thing is interesting to me because Craig just said, you know, that he made the pick. He said he falls to 29 and Washington, you know, takes him. You just said that, who was it that has him out of the first round?
I think it was Daniel Jeremiah.
Jeremiah's got him out of the first round? I mean, Will Johnson, correct me if I'm it was either was Sanders still the defensive MVP of the national championship game, or was it Will Johnson? Because they were both dominant players. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I thought it was Sanders still. I mean, look, here's the thing, right? We go through months and months of this mock draft stuff and analysts and who this guy's great, this guy's this. But so much of this comes down to the things that even the people on the TV don't know what's happening. And that is often
true.
The medicals and the personals. So,
yeah, it's
like,
the
I
medical.
I think Jeremiah also had Mike Green out of the first round, the defensive end out of Marshall, who had, you know, right. He's got some legal issues that to sort through when he was at his time when he was at the University of Virginia. So to have
tell me he's got Pierce out of the first round too.
That one I don't recall, but not everybody.
If he's got Green out of the first round, he's got to have Pierce out of the first round. The more and more you hear about Pierce, that would be, at this point, a surprise if he gets picked in the first round.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I don't know. Like, I was talking to, again, somebody with another team, and they, you know, in discussing exactly this, they said, and obviously I don't know all the details, but they were saying that from what they know, they're less worried about Pierce's issues than they were, or at least they have more questions about Green's situation than Pierce. I think with Pierce, it's just like sort of how much does he kind of burn for football and some other things. But that's always
well.
Tricky.
You had Pierce out of your first round, and you had Green in it.
I did. I mean, like I said, that you know, I saw that you know Jeremiah had him out of the first. I was like, well, I don't quite know what's going on there. You know, he's been typically mocked in the you know somewhere in the middle of the first round, so. Look, in a draft where anything, you know, so many things can happen. Like I said, typically I would say when I'm doing these things, when I'm making the 32 picks, I probably have like three or four guys that I'm like, kind of wish I could figure out a way to get them in, but, you know, can't. I mean, I'm not kidding when I tell you I had like 13 or 14 extras, and that's just my list. Other people might have had other players that could maybe raise it up to closer to 50. So, it is all over the place. I mean, even just at the very end here, I had the Eagles at 32 taking Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's son, the tight end out of LSU.
Yeah.
There's a sense of doubt they're going to move on from Dallas Goedert. And, you know, we always view the Eagles as wanting that, you know, lineman, which is reasonable, of course. But I was, you know, but this started to get some attention and it kind of makes sense. I didn't have Mason Taylor in any mock draft until yesterday, like for the last 3 months. Like, I've never thought about it. But, you know, once you start...
I love your late changes. Your late changes usually work out for you.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
they have.
You know how it is. I'm gonna overthink about, you know, I'm gonna overthink the ones I didn't do. We get to Washington, I'll tell you some of my debates. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the combinations. But obviously, there's always the butterfly effect. You know, you may have this team do this thing, and all of a sudden, it can change all the picks behind it, but this year it's just without any real consensus, it just felt, you know, one notable thing can be crazy. So when you see these dramatic moves, like I said, Will Johnson, Green, you haven't mentioned it yet, so I don't know if you noticed, but you said the other day you thought Omarion Hampton was a guy like you wouldn't want Washington to take, and inexplicably for the first time this whole cycle, I didn't have him in my first round. Now, that's largely because I feel like either he or Travion Henderson goes in the first round, but probably not both. I could be wrong, but if either one gets past 22, where the Chargers are, I just don't know if I see a fit. So rather than guess which one would potentially go, I just cut them both out. And I wasn't the only one that had Hampton out of the first round as well. I don't remember who. I think maybe McShay or somebody else. But it's also a deep position. It was kind of like, well, you know, if there's a position where teams are going to say, maybe we can get this later, feels like running back. So yeah, I know you said the other day you didn't think Hampton was all that.
It's not that I don't think he's all that. I just don't see a running back because of the value equation worth taking in the first round other than Ashton Jeanty. I think after Jeanty, you can put a list of like 11 guys together that all have, you know, certain there. It's a great running back class, and it's going to matter preference, what your need is, who you like. And I think, you know, any one of the 11 could be the second best running back out of this draft. But I just don't think anybody deserves to be in the first round. It just wouldn't surprise me if Henderson went in the first round because of his big play ability. But and it wouldn't surprise me based on all the mocks. I wanted to ask you something real quickly. Other than yours, and I'm being serious when I say this, for those of you who don't know, Ben has been an excellent mock drafter over the years. Like, he's won multiple, you know, mock draft contests over the years. But of the national guys, because I just pulled up Jeremiah's mock draft, I guess it's his final, and you're right. Green's not in it. Will Johnson's not in it. Pierce isn't in it either. Who of the national guys actually is good? I have no idea. Like Jeremiah, McShay, Kuiper, you know, who's good at this consistently?
So, right. So there's two ways to look at this. There's the mock drafts that go on from the start of the college football season up until, like, you know, 2 weeks out of the draft, right? Those are the ones where, yeah, sure, they may have some kind of guess, but they're basically just their own personal thoughts to a lot of degree. They think this player is better than this other player, so they're going to move this guy, you know, into this pick, or they think this team should do this. I think at that point, I don't know that anybody is particularly all that. It's at the very end, though, like in this case.
Right.
You know, look, I mean, Daniel Jeremiah is part of NFL Network. He's on TV. He does stuff with the Chargers. You know, during the preseason and the season, I think. So, like, you know, he's obviously around all these people. You know, Peter Schrager, I think last year had a pretty good one. He's another guy, obviously, right? He seems to have a lot of the ear of a lot of people around the league. It's not the exact same thing you're talking about, but part of the Huddle Report, they also have a contest for the big board. So it's your top 100 players, and then you get graded based on just simply how many did you have in the top 100. McShay has typically done the best of the people we talk about of that group. That's not the same as the mock, but it sense shows that he at least has a feel typically for you know, who's going to be in the draft, you know, in the first three rounds. So, you know, I think there. But you know, honestly, I think after that, here's the other thing. As you know, because you put people like me on the spot sometimes, they don't love the mock drafts necessarily. Because, you know, you're now on the spot saying this team is going to do this thing or this guy's going to go here. So I don't think they care as much, to be super honest, up until the end.
Right.
And then they have to get a little more serious about it. So I think, you know, like I said, I think those guys are fine. Let me be super duper honest. They're all fine. If they were all the next coming of the draft evaluators, they'd be working for a team. Right. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
television gets more money than a regional scout. I'm not saying that, but like, it's, you know, we got them up because they're the ones we're being told are the experts. I mean, Kuiper is sort of a separate category because he obviously kind of invented this whole thing. But everybody else, it's like they're just the one who happens to be there. They're worthy of it. I'm not saying they're, you know, given a job, but like, I don't necessarily know that they're always that much better, but they have more access. They have, this is what they do. And, you know, the ESPN or whoever the site is telling us, hey, this is the person we're presenting. And then now you have to just buy that they kind of know what they're talking about.
All right. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Last Man Standing is his podcast. Read him at The Athletic. So we'll get to Washington here in a moment, but just tell me, because every year there is, you know, a pick that you had in your mock that you're like, kind of proud of this one, or I'm kind of feeling like this one's going to be a bit of a surprise for people because I'm one of the only people that has this. Who's that person this year for you? Or maybe it's more than one.
Well, I think one is the player we're going to discuss for Washington. So I won't get on that.
Yeah.
I'm looking through my list here really quick. I don't know. I mean, I moved this around so much over the last 48 hours. I don't know. Like when I won the contest a few years ago, there was one, the Chargers picked this kid, or was it Gillery, something like that. I literally had him in that spot for 3 months, and I never changed it once. That one was like I was pretty proud of. Like, he wasn't necessarily a good player ultimately, but that's not the point. So I don't necessarily have anything like that. I guess I will say that, like in the case of like a Will Johnson, if he does slide, like I've been constantly in my own rough draft dropping him into the 20s, but it's not like I was the only one who was kind of doing that. Everybody kept saying how good he is, and now all of a sudden, like I said, he's getting knocked out of the first round, and maybe that's for injury, but I was paying attention to that during the whole process. That's sort of an example. I think for me this time, it's been more of like reading the tea leaves on a guy like that, as opposed to necessarily saying he's going to be the pick to team X. Like, so it's more like that.
I would say the fact that you've got one quarterback is going to be unique, and maybe not that unique right now, and that you put Mason Taylor in the first round at the end. Now, I've seen some of that, but him mocked to Philadelphia is interesting. By the way, Will Johnson was the MVP of the national championship game in 2024. When they beat Washington in the title game. He was the defensive MVP. Will Johnson, to me, was like the star. I loved Sanristil, don't get me wrong, and remember what Saban said about Sanristil, best pound-for-pound player in the draft last year. But, man, a guy like Will Johnson, if he were sitting there at 29, I would wonder why the hell he's there at 29. I think it would definitely mean the injuries that he really struggled with this year in 2024 were a concern. All right, let's get to how many players were in contention for your Washington pick.
Yeah. So in terms of like before, like I laid out the draft. In other words, just thinking of Washington in isolation versus everything else. Basically, I think I had five players. I had Emeka Ebuka, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. They got Debo Samuel and they brought Noah Brown back, but both of those guys are on one-year deals, and we know they need more speed, youth, playmaking, what have you, on offense. So that would be a guy I think would make sense if he's there. Very clean prospect, one of the better ones. He's also a team captain, all that. I honestly didn't have one specific cornerback I really liked. Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina, older guy, 24. He's coming off an ACL, so there's some questions there. But just his style fits perfectly. I didn't necessarily ultimately think he was getting he would be first. Like, he's close, but I just don't know which cornerback they necessarily like the most. I don't know if I believe the Maxwell Harrison aspect, but anyway. But corner in general would make sense as a need generically position. But I honestly didn't have one guy. Travion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State. Kevin, I'm embarrassed to tell you how much time I spent yesterday just staring at that and going, I really want to make this pick. I really want to put Travion Henderson here because I thought about this for like 2 or 3 months. Once I started looking at him more closer and thinking about him as the read option back with Jaden Daniels, and just that, for all the talk we had, earlier in the year about they got to get another receiver, and me constantly, yapping back at people saying, no, you don't need to, in free agency, you don't need to spend on another receiver and Terry McLaurin. But they to get more production, big playability out of the backfield would be huge. But ultimately, so that's a challenge. And then, two defensive ends kind of on the opposite sides of the world. You got Donovan Ezeraku, who is, real bendy, athletic presence, had, 17 sacks last year for Boston College. He may be like sort of the last one of that viewed like top five or six guys who could be there just based on, what I've heard. Could go 19 to Tampa, but he could be there for Washington. And then Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, sort of a guy who's not often mentioned, Hadn't been often mentioned, high in drafts, but just everything I'd read about him just constantly screamed commander. He led the Big Ten in sacks as a 19-year-old sophomore. That he was also a team captain at 19, which says a lot about the person. He's just a relentless pass rusher, excellent against the run as well. So those are the guys that I really kind of narrowed in on. I will say also, like, Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle of Oregon, I definitely have, we've talked about that going tackle, but, ultimately I didn't ultimately have him in my top five.
Okay, so let's get to it. You did not see a trade back opportunity for Washington. You kept him at 29, and the selection was?
Well, look, I could play God and just do it, right? I don't have to run the league. I don't have to run it by another GM to make a trade. So sure, I would make a trade if I, but like, where's the fun in that? So if Adam Peters can make a trade, he's making a trade. Okay, but that said, with the pick, I went with Scorton, and this is sort of my plant my flag, I guess. If he goes in the first round, and I think either Kansas City or Philadelphia very likely could take him if he doesn't go to Washington. And I like I said before, we know the need, right? We know the Washington's got to get younger, more athletic, more of a pass rush. They got to figure out ways to stop the run. And Scorton kind of is a combination of all of that. Whereas Ezeraku is like a thin 240 range, 240s weight range. Scorton's a bit bigger. He was like 280 last year at A&M, but that was because that staff wanted him to bulk up. He dropped back down to about 257 for the combine. That's where he was at Purdue when he led the Big Ten in sacks. And then again, he was a captain at 19 years old. The reason his seal, he's not necessarily viewed by a lot of people as a first round.
Not at A&M at Purdue.
What did I say?
You said he was a team captain at 19 years old at Purdue, not Texas A&M.
Right. At Purdue, and he transferred. I haven't talked to anybody who said, "Wow, that guy is terrible." Like, it's just more just he doesn't have like the sort of athletic ceiling.
The reason I have him there is I didn't talk to anybody, and nobody said he's terrible.
Hey, you'd be surprised. There's guys that are going in the first round that people have like strong and negative opinions about.
Yeah,
like I say, his thing is he just doesn't have. He's more of a high floor than a high ceiling guy. But just if this team sticks to the principles they had last year about what they're looking for on the field, off the field, of the players that I was aware of, and I'm not saying other guys aren't close, but like I don't know if there's anybody who had more of a commander profile than this kid. So we'll see. He's not, I don't know if I saw anybody else. I know one other person I think that had him in the first round, not to Washington, but, like I said, I had Ezeraku going in my mock draft, the pick before Washington to 28. The safe play for me would have just been drop right Ezeraku back a spot. It would have been fine.
Because you think they would take him if he were on the board at 29. In your mock, you have Detroit taking Ezeraku at 28. In addition to Ezeraku, is there anybody else in the few picks prior to Washington, if they were on the board, you think they'd take in front of Scorton?
I have Shamar Stewart going 27, the really toolsy athletic pass rusher, the other one from Texas A&M, who has crazy athletic traits but minimal production in college. I have him 27 to the Ravens. If Washington thinks they can be the team that, coaches him up and gets more out of him, then sure. I mean, he would be a fantastic add because of that athletic burst that he would provide. And that's my only question with Scorton is that with the group that Washington has, they really need an injection of athleticism, and he's relatively speaking, these other guys, he's not quite that. So if they wanted that, Ezeraku would be the better call. Stewart certainly would be the better call. I think we also, the other thing is, again, we all get it. I think edge rushers, if we have to label the top need, that would be it. But this is a deep class for edge rushers. There'll be guys in day two into the fourth round who, are going to be helpful to teams and can be, potential starters and all that. So does Washington decide, hey, let's pick him? That's why I think like Travion Henderson's interesting. Yeah, it's a deep running back class, but everybody else is sort of role player-ish. He feels like a three-down potential guy who's got a lot of upside and a lot of different facets. So take him, or you just take another running back later, but not necessarily one who has all his traits. So that's why I could see them passing on defensive end initially. They have to get one. It's not two. Even if they only have the five picks, that would be fine for me. But yeah, I mean, so that's kind of how I looked at why I landed where I landed at 29.
It's funny what you said about Travion Henderson. I think he is a three-down back, but I don't think he's a 20-plus carry a game guy, and I think there are several of those in the draft. But it would be – I've talked about this for a while, too. It's like just picturing, 32. I don't know what number he'd wear here, but in the shotgun next to Jaden would be interesting. By the way, I'll point out, I'm pretty sure, if you didn't say this already, and maybe I just missed it, Nick Skorton, when we first started talking draft after the season, that was your guy.
Yeah, I mean, this was a year because this team kept us all busy a lot longer than normal. I was definitely behind in my usual prep. I'm usually doing mock drafts in October. But once I started diving in, like I said, I mean, it was imprinted on my brain, as I'm sure for all of us, of what they were looking for as a player. And obviously it worked well. And, once I started to look at the edge rushers, I'm like, boy, this guy just checks off way too many boxes. And like I said before about like planting a flag, like even if you can even look now, like at the public big boards, they all typically have him in like the 40s or the 50s or even lower where they're at. And look, maybe that's going to be what's going to happen. Maybe he, doesn't go in the first round or even in the top of the second, but it just, everything I kept seeing said that. And I do feel like it's the momentum has gone in my direction more than not, even just seeing some people discuss him in this ranking. When I've talked to people, the only people who seem to agree with me were some people behind, in the league, sources, that kind of stuff, who were saying, yeah, we really like that guy. He just doesn't profile as a, dynamic athlete. And I know I heard Jeremiah on some podcast, I think, say when he pulled up the tape from last year, he wasn't that impressed when he was the heavier version. But then when he went back and looked at the Purdue version, where he was a lighter, where he's going to be at now in the pros, that guy made him a lot more interested. So, again, if you're only kind of going off of last year, then maybe he's not for you. But we'll see.
Nick Skorton, everybody. That's the pick Ben's got at 29 for Washington. Defensive end edge out of Texas A&M. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk tomorrow after we have a pick. Thanks.
Well, we'll see if we have a pick. Yeah, see you, man.
Yeah, true. Ben Standig, everybody. All right, phone lines are open. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What's your dream situation, dream scenario, dream pick, dream trade? What do you want to see? What are you hoping to see tonight when Washington either drafts at 29 or maybe your dream is for a trade back? But if you trade back, I want to hear with whom and for which players. All right? 301-230-0980, your chance to weigh in with predictions, what you want on tonight's draft. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.